Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, Truth Media Network, with Rudy and Aaron Davis from the Year of Jubilee Weekly Update. Tonight we're talking about political prisoners on this Labor Day, and we really appreciate you keeping these prisoners in your hearts and prayers and having a heart that cares. It would be great if you could write to them. All their addresses and information is at our free resource library. And if you can't remember the name Year of Jubilee for the website, it's spelled with one E like the King James Bible spells it. You can always remember IHateTheFBI.com, and that'll take you straight there.
Amen, amen. You know, the Bible says that we'll live in a time when good will be called evil and evil will be called good. And so does it surprise you that we might have a few innocent men and women in prison? But I want to finish up this story with Thomas Lane, who's on Alabama death row. So like I mentioned, he went to the Walmart the same day he found out that she had died because his boss advised him that he's got to handle the burial charges. And so Renee told my wife and I that on a recorded line, that it was his fault, and he felt terrible about it. Renee was a good Christian man, and we had had several conversations with Renee. Well, it was a heartbreaking thing, but Renee died suddenly of a heart attack. And so Renee was like Thomas Lane's only friend on the outside that was communicating with him, sending him a few commissary bucks. I guess he went and visited him from time to time. And in any event, when Renee died of a heart attack, thank God Almighty that we had had a recorded conversation with Renee where Renee said that he had felt bad and it was his idea that he go to the Walmart and check for the burial insurance, because the prosecutors tried to make Thomas out to be like a cold-blooded killer looking for, you know, insurance money, for killing his wife. There's another thing about his case that I wanted to bring to your attention, and that is there was an eyewitness who saw the killer drive up in a green truck at the residence where Therese was staying the day she died. And the witness, who was an auto mechanic, said that the man who got out of the truck was a 120-pound man. And the prosecution and the defense, I think it was the defense, pushed him on it and said, could he have been a 300-pound man? And his response on the witness stand was, no, not hardly. And that was the man who went into the residence during the time frame that, you know, they suspected she was killed. Well, in any event, the reason that's so important that the eyewitness said he was 120 pounds, and when he was pressed on it, he said, no, not hardly, he definitely couldn't have been a 300-pound man, because Thomas Lane weighs 300 pounds. And so in any event, it certainly appears to my wife and I that there's reasonable doubt. Thomas Lane was raised Catholic, and he's maintained his innocence. He introduced us to another man by the name of Dennis Morgan Hicks on Alabama death row. He recently sent us a letter called The Fingerprint of God. And if you want to read a letter on someone who is committed to their relationship to the Lord, you should read the letter from Dennis Morgan Hicks, titled The Fingerprint of God. Now, he was convicted of murdering and a heinous crime of dismembering the body of a man by the name of Joshua Duncan. And Dennis Morgan Hicks' story is that he just pled guilty. He was 21 years old. He was hitchhiking across America with his 16-year-old nephew, and two transgender drag queens tried to rape his nephew, and he killed both of them. There's a long story behind that. We don't have time for the radio program for me to go into the details. But they attacked him. These two transgender drag queens attacked him three different occasions. The third time, they attempted to rape his 16-year-old nephew. Well, Dennis Morgan Hicks, who was 21 years old at the time, kills both of them. And he pled guilty, and he spent 25 and a half years in prison. Well, he gets out of prison, and he spends several years in the church, taking care of his elderly mother and just living a good, godly life, didn't have any trouble. And then they pinned this murder of Joshua Duncan on him, who he's maintained his innocence. From what I can gather about this case of Dennis Morgan Hicks, the the evidence that they have against him is the testimony of a 3-year-old toddler and the picture of a dog. And you really need to educate yourself about this case. But many times we see these prosecutors who want to make a name for themselves and advance their career to, you know, catch the big one. And so they'll put somebody in prison without necessarily worried about if he's truly innocent or truly guilty in order to advance their career. If you guys are familiar with the case of Daniel Hortzclaw.
Reasonable doubt.
There's certainly reasonable doubt in that. And you have this looks to me like a lesbian prosecutor who's out after Christians. And I'm not one usually to stand up for policemen. But in this particular case, Daniel Hortzclaw was an outspoken Christian man. I think he joined the police force with, you know, thinking he wanted to do the right thing. And Michelle Malkin now is trying to advocate for him. But if you look at the world with your biblical lens and through a Christian lens, you can see this war going on of, you know, these prosecutors who want to advance their career, get bonuses, and Christians are easy targets. And so you see men like, I think Daniel Hortzclaw got 238 years in prison. They've got Dennis Morgan Hicks on death row, who's a Christian, and Thomas Lane is also on death row. So
we should point out that Thomas Lane and Dennis Morgan Hicks are not political prisoners, but there is reasonable doubt in both cases.
Yeah, there is, and I just want to bring their cases to your attention so that you can investigate it. If you can't believe the mainstream news media, and you can't believe what happened in Sandy Hook, and you can't believe what happened in 9/11, are you going to believe what, you know, the prosecutors and the government,
no.
You know? That's the reason I went through that list before, is, you know, we live in a world that's full of deception, and they are targeting Christians. They're targeting people of faith all across this country. And when they can get away with it, they do get away with it. And if we don't stand up and put a stop to it, you know, God will. You know, God gives us free will, and He gives us the ability to make decisions. Choose you this day, and I'm asking us to make a decision.
Dennis's letters have been really a blessing to us.
We have some phone calls from him too, and I encourage and ask everyone to write him a letter. Let him know you care about him. He's asking for some help. He claims that the toddler. Can you imagine a 3-year-old toddler?
No.
Said Uncle Dennis got in a fight with Joshua, and all of a sudden, because a 3-year-old toddler who can barely talk, because he says he's coached to say something like that, you just know the lieutenant was giving him candy and, you know, leading questions, and that the 3-year-old toddler made a statement like that, and now all of a sudden you're back on death row because you have a previous record, and you're prime candidate because, you know, they don't like you already because you've pled guilty to killing some, you know, transgender drag queens that were trying to rape your nephew. So
he served his time for that.
Yeah, he served his time for that, and I'm not even sure that he should have served any time for that. But that's a topic of another discussion for another time. You know, we're in this second hour, and I want to cover the case of Richard Taus. He's another military man who spent over 30 years in prison.
What happened to No Man Left Behind?
You know, my dad was a Marine. My brother was a Marine. As I was growing up, I heard this Semper Fi, courage, honor, integrity, all for one for all, the brotherhood of the military. I heard of that all my whole life. And yet, Charles Dyer, who's a perfect example, they've pinned a heinous crime on him. I thoroughly believe Charles Dyer is innocent. I don't believe he committed the crime they said he did. But I believe they put heinous crimes on these decorated war heroes in order to get their military friends to turn away because the crimes are quite heinous.
Let me just mention a couple of names. These are veterans left behind. Gary Northington, who we're talking about tonight, and Richard Taus. We've got David Hinkson. We did a show on him. Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. He's a doctor now. He was the one asking for Obama's birth certificate. Jerry DeLumis got 8 years for nothing. Skyler Barbeau, he was set up by a supposed friend and trapped. John Ritzheimer, he gets out this fall. Skyler's out now, praise God. Clint Lawrence, everybody's heard about him on the Hannity show. And like you just said, Charles Dyer.
That's right. There's a lot of veterans that took their oath seriously, all enemies, foreign and domestic. And because they became whistleblowers like Gary Michael Northington with the MKUltra program, satanic ritual abuse, child auctions, they were targeted. Now, Richard Taus was in the FBI for 11 years. He wrote two books. One of them is To Be a Hero, Stolen Honor, Inside the FBI, CIA, and the Mob, the True Story of FBI Agent, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel, a Decorated War Hero, His Life with the Bureau, the CIA, and the Mob. And he adopted a child from Vietnam that helped him write this book. I just want to give you an example of some of the things Lieutenant Colonel Richard Taus was blowing the whistle on. Unlawful CIA operations involving financial involving financial frauds, drug trafficking, money laundering, and weapons sales. Both Irangate and Iraqgate. Failure to investigate the U.S. savings and loans debacle, also referred to as the thrift industry. The Bank of Commerce and Credit International and its dire effects upon financial matters and weapon sales. Certain FBI agents aiding and abetting mafia crime. Complacency regarding the genesis of the terrorism threats. And he talks about illegal FBI assassination hits. There's not only the books that he wrote himself, but Rodney Stich, S-T-I-C-H, who's now passed away, he's gone to the hereafter. He wrote a book called FBI, CIA, The Mob, and Treachery. And his book is even thicker than Lieutenant Colonel Richard Taus. But I did read the book, and I can tell you that the flavor, the essence of the book that I got was this man flew Chinook helicopters in the Vietnam War. He talks about, you know, being there and helping his brothers in arms. He talks about the loading the body bags on the helicopters and the smell of the jungle and the smell of the heat and the smell of the the bodies coming from the body bags. I mean, you get a real sense of how ugly and brutal the Vietnam War was. And he came back and he, you know, this man wanted to serve his country. He was always raised to be a, you know, a patriotic military man, and he joined the FBI in order to fight crime. And he saw not only the crime that was going on within the FBI. The name of my website, for goodness sake, is IHateTheFBI.com, because I have been made very aware of just how wicked the FBI is. But he worked for them for 11 years, for goodness sake, and he saw it firsthand. He tried to blow the whistle on the illegal activities that he saw not only within the FBI, but also within the CIA and the drug running they were doing. They were performing domestic operations. We know that the CIA should not be doing that. They should be kept international. And for his trouble, he got put in prison for 30 years on some heinous charges similar to Charles Dyer. I don't know if we're getting close or if we have the cue set up. And this isn't a very fancy clip that we have of him, but he did call me. And he did speak about it briefly, and we have that recording. And I just want you to hear his voice, and I want you to become familiar with this man who tried to serve his country, tried to live a patriotic life, but now he's been in prison for 30 years. So this is a clip of Richard Taus when he called us on the phone from prison after 30 years.
Is he getting out next year?
You know, he'll be up for parole next year, but sometimes they keep him in prison a lot longer than the parole. And an example will be Yuri Von Kahl and Scott Fall.
Oh, yeah. They try to get you when you're just about on your way out the door. They grab you for mail fraud or some other bogus charge.
But that clip may not be queued up. We'll certainly get to it when we can get to it. But go ahead, Aaron.
That'd be great if he gets out next year. It says May 2019.
Even if he's guilty, and he takes a lot of exception to that statement, because he said he's not guilty, but he said nobody stays in prison as long as he has. But let's go to that clip if we could, and let's hear his voice.
But the the long and short was CIA was operating domestically. It was Oliver North took profits for his own personal enrichment and stuff like that, and so did all the politicians engaged in that operation against Nicaragua. Also, in the past, I went down to South America. I've been to those countries, especially El Salvador, Costa Rica, Belize, and so forth. I knew what the intelligence community was doing because they told me. They used me throughout the military. They would call me aside and give me these different missions and operations to go. And like I said, all those details are in the book. So the other aspect of the book deals with the FBI. If you had seen the movie, which I don't think you may have, The Black Mass, about Whitey Bulger, the Boston Irish organized crime leader. We had the same situation.
Okay.
Well, the movie's called Black Mass, and it talks about the Irish mob in South Boston taking over and so forth, and finally, Bulger was caught. But he had a lot of corrupt officials in there, including an FBI agent by the name of John Connolly. Well, lo and behold, the same thing existed in investigations in New York with my supervisor, DeVecchio, Lindley DeVecchio, who was involved with the Colombo mob. And, you know, it soon became apparent to me he was doing the same thing that John Connolly, FBI in Boston, was doing with his mafia people. You know, in a way, when you're an agent of law enforcement, your best source is your informants, if you can find a reliable one. So I'm not forgiving DeVecchio for what he did, but he shut down some of my more promising investigations, including the one about the Lufthansa robbery. And again, not to confuse you, I was on the separate divisions at separate times. The separate divisions are organized crime, which included the mafia, and then foreign counterintelligence. And so I seen the way these things were going. And, you know, I said to the guys in here, I said, I'm not a stupid man. You know, I see what's going on. I'm a pragmatic person. And when you see what happened in Vietnam to our troops, to our country, and the listless attitude that the Americans had towards that war. When I got back from my first tour, I had adopted a boy. He's 3 years old. He's now 53, he's 54 years old. So, you know, and he's smarter than me, believe it or not, which may be easy for you to believe considering the fact I'm in prison. But be that as it may, you know, I raised him as a Catholic. I raised myself as a Catholic, and there's a lot of tenets of the Catholic Church, a lot of teachings which I just can't accept. I just don't believe. They're just incredulous beliefs and so forth. So that would be, say, for a different talk about the Almighty, which I believe in, and of course Jesus too. You know,
no, praise God. I would imagine that's helped you to withstand the tribulation that you've been through. Regarding your son,
it helped me.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, it helped. It helped me. It helped him in a certain way because he's a firm believer in the Almighty. The big problem, though, comes up when I, in Vietnam, well, even before that, and it gets into too much detail about the saints and stuff like that. The third letter from Our Lady of Fatima, which is supposed to forecast the end of the world, they told us that in 1950s in Catholic school. Well, that never came about, the revelation by the Pope about the third letter. But it started my doubt in the faith. Not the doubt in the belief, but the doubt in the Vatican, the Catholic Church itself.
So there you have it. That's a phone call from Richard Taus after being in prison for 30 years. These men, both Richard Taus and Gary Michael Northington, are in dire need of medical help. I can tell you that, you know, when you have a problem with your health in prison, that it's incredibly difficult to get good medical within the prison system. So I ask that you pray for them and include them in your prayers. And I pray that you write them a letter and let them know that you haven't forgotten about them. You know, this was something that Jack McLam was advocating in 2004, and we're 14 years later, and now they've been in prison 30 years. And these men, I believe it's a pattern that's been going on, and our best and brightest are winding up in prison, and it's going to happen. It's, you know, they say that, you know, it can't happen to me, but it is. It's happening to people all around us, and they're coming after the Bundys again. Have you heard that, Aaron? My goodness. We're going to be back right after the break, and we're going to learn a little bit more about Richard Taus, and we're going to talk about solutions. And if you want to give us a call and give us your ideas, but we got to fix this problem, and I refuse to kneel. I hope you do too, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
hands both dear. Everything you earn by breaking your backs, we're gonna redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit back down, don't be a jerk.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back on this Labor Day 2018 to Resurrect the Republic, which is what we're trying to do here, in case you hadn't noticed, by painting a picture of all these political prisoners who are the best and the brightest across this country that are behind bars, and it's absolutely insane, and we need to fix it. We need to get this dog back on the chain. It's we, the people, that need to put our dog back on the chain, and the government works for us. They're public servants, and the language has been so twisted. They think they're our leaders. I heard Nancy Pelosi call herself a leader today. She's just losing her marbles. Anyway, I'm going to read, let's see here. How about Proverbs 21:15? It is a joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity.
Amen, amen.
I like that one.
Hey, Aaron, I want to tell the story of Wesley Moore, if I could.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron and I, we do get letters from various prisoners with interesting, I think very informative stories that just really shows you how brutal prison life can be. And Wesley Moore was killed in prison. It was a Florida prison. And if you look up Florida prison abuse, man, you're going to see some horrific stories. But if you type into your favorite search engine, Wesley Moore, Florida prison death, you're going to find a few articles that says very little things that, you know, this man was killed in prison. They're under investigation. But they don't go into the details. Of course, they never go into the details or release any information when it makes them look bad, when someone dies and it was under, you know, their custody and it should not have happened in the first place.
They investigate themselves. What a joke.
Yeah. But we got a letter from a man by the name of Richard Franklin. And Richard Franklin says that he was in the same prison as Wesley Moore. And Wesley Moore, the reason he was in prison in the first place is he was 22 years old. And when he was 22 years old, he slept with his 17-year-old girlfriend. She's 1 year underage. And for that, I think he went to prison for a couple of years.
And he married her, right?
Yeah, he gets out and he marries the girl. He stays with her. They have like three kids. And if I don't get all the details correct, I pray you forgive me. I'm just giving you the general gist of the story as best as I can remember it from Richard Franklin. But he does marry the girl. They end up having three kids together, and he stays with this girl until his like mid-30s. So he's like, you know, 33, 34 years old. And of course, because of the nature of his crime when he was 22 and he slept with her and she was 1 year underage, he has to report for the rest of his life as a sex offender. Well, he decides in his mid-30s that he ain't going to do that again, that he does not want to go report and do this, you know, for the rest of his life. So he doesn't. Well, they catch him and they throw him in prison again. So that was his story. So they put him in prison again. And oh, by the way, he shares the same space as a convicted double homicide individual. I think his name was Omar, although I don't remember his last names. Well, it's not to be confused with Omar Kwazi, who's another prisoner that we advocate for. But this other Omar, because now you got this guy who all his crime was, and I don't say all his crime was, but you can decide for yourself how bad his crime was. He did end up marrying the lady, and he did end up having three children with her, but he doesn't report for the government, you know, signing of, you know, being a sex offender that year. Well, Omar decides to put a lock in a sock and beat Wesley Moore to death and kill him. And we got that story from Richard Franklin, who is another prisoner that we communicate with. And so Richard Franklin says that Wesley Moore was reading the Bible with Richard, and it upset Omar so much that he didn't like these, you know, Bible freaks reading the Bible in prison, and that's how Wesley Moore died. So I wanted to share that story with you guys that we often hear of these brutal attacks. Free Laser has been brutally attacked. We believe there was an attack upon Schaefer Cox by the Muslims in Marion's secret prison. We get stories of Ed Brown being brutally attacked, and you know, we could go into the different types of abuses that we have heard about, such as, aren't we just a peaches and roses tonight? But it's something you guys need to hear. 4-point shackling, although I'm told the policy for that is that nobody's ever 4-point shackled for over a 24-hour period. I've been told by a prisoner that's hogwash, and they do it for much longer periods than that. You got sleep deprivation, where they won't let you go to sleep and they come in and yell at you all the time. Of course, we know that the food is absolutely horrific. You got long periods of isolation, which is a form of brutal torture all by itself. You just got outright beatings. We've had a guy tied down in a chair, and they, the cowardly U.S. Marshal decides while this man is tied down into a chair to beat upon him and hit him. Forced inoculations and forced needle sticks when that's against the wishes of the prisoner. These prisons are not fun places to be.
Especially when you're innocent.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read With Liberty and Justice for All when we get back.
When we get back, Aaron's going to read some more about Richard Taus, and we're going to devote that time to him. I pray you do keep these men and women in your prayers.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
God bless Texas.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic Truth Media Network with Rudy and Aaron Davis from the Year of Jubilee Weekly Update. Tonight, I'm going to read you Proverbs 28:5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. I don't know if I understand all things, but we'll give it a try. I'm going to read to you with Liberty and Justice for All, Patriotism Abused and Misused by Captain Rudy Blohm, retired, and this is written in
2003. You're absolutely right.
It says, Richard Taus's father was a colonel in the U.S. Army who fought in Germany during World War II. This heritage of military service in defense of the United States influenced Richard's education as a youth. He attended a military academy imbued with a patriotic duty to protect our constitutional republic from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Richard served as leader of a helicopter unit in Vietnam. On patrol, Richard heard a CIA Air America cargo plane radio as it was making a forced landing. Responding to the scene, he offered assistance in evacuating. The Air America crew leader said, "Thank you, but no thank you. We will wait for our rescue unit." Boarding the CIA plane, a member of Taos's crew found what appeared to be more than a ton of narcotics. Richard precipitated a congressional investigation. The investigator's report stated, "The ton or more of narcotics was for the personal use of the Air America crew and therefore of no concern to Congress." Having served with honors in Vietnam, still concerned about protecting our nation, Richard Taos, now a lieutenant colonel in the reserves, became a special agent in the Federal Bureau of Investigation in the metropolitan New York City area. In the course of an assigned investigation, Taos found that the CIA was involved in massive illegal narcotics, distribution, and money laundering, apparently in collusion with the mafia in Long Island, New York, suburban area. Agent Taos claims that he reported his findings to the FBI superior and was told to terminate his investigation, to terminate three key witnesses, and to shut up or else. Lieutenant Colonel Taos, our patriotic veteran, devoted to protecting our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic, refused to obey this unlawful order. And here we are, 30 years later.
That's right, Aaron. That's right. That was written by Captain Rudy Blom, in support of his friend Richard Taos, and I'm going to read a portion of a letter that was also placed in Aid and Abed newsletter from Richard himself. In the interest of time, I'm just going to read a few paragraphs, but it'll give you the gist. Richard wrote to Dear Jack McLam, "You and your family have been in my constant prayers. The past several months have been quite busy for me, preparing for the federal appeal, which was finally heard on November the 25th. Keep in mind, this is the year 2004. Took a lot of work as a district attorney fought us tooth and nail. Unfortunately, my attorneys did not do their job very well. They failed to respond when they could have to the DA's office." Then I'm going to skip a few paragraphs and I'm going to continue on with this letter. "Attorneys want big fees. A high-profile case takes money to work. After all, these years, I have not found any altruistic legal aid or assistance." He's not found one legal aid that just wants to do the right thing for the reason of doing the right thing.
That's because they are probably all threatened behind the scenes.
Yeah. He goes on to write, Richard goes on to write, "And there is no money left to afford any. That's why I did most of the legal research and work on my case. Regrettably, a good private investigator was needed, but they too cost money. Frankly, I and my family are now poor. Sorry I had to place this letter in with the Christmas card, but it does save postage, and every little bit helps. The numerous briefs I submitted cost enough on materials and postage themselves. For many out there who have taken an interest, I appreciate the help and support. It has allowed the legal battle for justice to continue. Still, I really needed more in the way of support publicly and pressure applied for a just decision. Imagine that judge asking who my mother was, and she's 86 years old. Had there been a bunch of real patriots in the courtroom, had the news media covered the hearing unbiasedly, then maybe justice would have been rendered.
So the media was in the bag for the bad guys back then, too.
Yep, and nobody showed up. And what recipes do we have for success, Aaron? I mean, we rarely talk about positive news.
Public outrage obviously helped in the Bundy trials.
What helped in the Ken Hovind trial?
Public outrage. And people outside the courthouse with big signs that said, "Let my pastor go," and it was for Kent Hovind's trial. But that also reminds me about Skylar Barbeau's trial last year, when he showed up into court, and really there wasn't a lot of support, I'm sorry to say.
You know, if we just had 300 committed men in this country,
court watchers,
that would show up, and I know you have to have the money for travel and you have to be able to take off, but if they could show up in a committed way, just like Gideon's army, I believe it could make a real difference in the lives of some of these innocent men that are getting put away for life.
Well, that's what John Lamb tried to do, right, before he was crushed.
Well, John Lamb is coming back, and praise God for that. Praise God for him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I got to read this, too. This is the ending of the article on Richard Towson. We have the entire publication. Carol Asher was kind enough to send it to us. So if you want to read all the article, not just the portions we're able to read on air, I recommend you go to Year of Jubilee, go to Gary's page or Richard's page and search for Officer Jack McLam, and you can download the entire article. But here's what Officer Jack McLam had to say in closing up the portion on Richard Towson. And this was written 14 years ago. This is what's so amazing is we're still doing the same fight. You know, it's just amazing. But here goes. Officer Jack McLam, does it not concern each of us that such monstrous, monstrous criminal actions can be taken against the best of our private citizens, soldiers, and lawmen who stand up against the ruling criminal class in American society? Please help. Reread this and other letters presented in these pages, and take action by asking these men or countrymen what you can do to help them correct the evils that have beset their lives because they took a righteous stand for all Americans. And then he goes on to talk about buy 50 copies of this publication. I don't think this publication is being put out now because he's now passed away. And hand them out to all your friends in hopes that they will do something to help these our country's best. Even Officer Jack McLam recognized that our best and brightest are being put in prison.
Wow.
Our country's best in their time of need. If we do nothing, these evil men in high places will continue to triumph, and the nation's prisons will burgeon with still more good Americans who choose to stand up against the enemies of God and the Republic.
Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion.
You know, I don't know. I want to go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, the king's basically saying, bow to my tyranny. You know, do you understand that Satan wants you to submit to his authority? And for the folks that have an instilled integrity in them, they recognize that they're children of God Almighty and that they're told not to bow to other gods, that for those type of men who will not bow down to the wickedness they see around them, they will not turn a blind eye to pedophilia, they will not turn a blind eye to unlawful activities by the CIA, they will not turn a blind eye to illegal hit operations by the FBI, that they then become the targeted men, and when they speak out and try to get a congressional overview or write books about what they've seen and expose the wickedness, they now become targeted, and without the support of the American people, they wind up going to prison for 30 years, and we've talked about two of them tonight. But even though that's a long time and has been a great portion of their lives, it's still not too late to work for their freedom and to educate ourselves and to tell others. And I'm praying that these messages and these stories will hit the right ears, and God will use us all as vessels, that we won't turn our backs on our brothers in bonds, and we won't submit to the tyranny of the devil, that we need to recognize who we are.
You can purchase some business cards. We have a design. You can see it on our website. I think it's at the bottom of the page. There's also great books there that we recommend at the bottom of the front page on the homepage. But we can, you know, customize the cards any way you like. We have a standard template that shows a lot of these prisoners. It also has the website. It promotes jury nullification. It's fija.org. We did a show about jury nullification with Bob Smiley last week or the week before. Jury nullification is really important. I know it's hard to educate people, but it is one thing that will help to keep our political prisoners out of prison in the future.
You know, Aaron talked about these business cards. We sell them at cost. There's no profit made on them whatsoever. But what they do have is they have the name of the website, yearofjubilee.com with one E, and then it has photos of people like Yori Von Call, 35 years in prison, the son of Gordon Call. If you have not seen the movie Death and Taxes, please go watch it. Scott Fall, 35 years in prison. David Hinkson, 15 years on a 43-year sentence. I mean, David Hinkson all by himself. I mean, those three men that I just mentioned, you know.
It's like 100 years between the three of them.
David Hinkson is a modern-day Nikola Tesla, and he has inventions I believe will change the world, not only in the medical community. And you say, well, the FDA won't allow you to say that he has a cure for cancer.
Oh, you can't say the four-letter word.
You can't say the four-letter word. But I've talked to people that have taken his copper mineral solution that
I've taken it.
Yeah, we have both taken it. But I've talked to a girl by the name of Stacy, and we have interviewed her, and her cancer is now in remission. You know, so I'm asking you to look into it. Be aware that it exists. You follow your own conscience, but I'm here to tell you that I've had family members that have died of cancer, and so I'm very familiar with the effects of
chemotherapy. Kills your immune system.
Radiation.
Yep. Look up WaterOz, WaterOz.com.
Yep, and WaterOz.com. And also, he's also built a motor. If you've ever read the book Ayn Rand, there's a Galt motor that was built in that book. I believe that David Hinkson has built the real Galt motor. He has the designs of it. He sent me letters that looks like it was done on a computer, but he did it hand-drawing from prison, and it's some of the most technical, impressive technical engineering drawings I've ever seen, and he did all that freehand on papers from prison. But to say that our government, and overall, and I know that Aaron and I, it may be difficult to listen to this program. You guys need to call in and, like, share your thoughts, because it's just so negative, right? I mean, we're talking about all of these men who we believe are heroes and men that we believe serve their country and try to do what's right, and we're looking at their lives, 30 years of their life, 35 years of their life. In the case of David Hinkson, he was sentenced to prison for 43 years. There's no victim. You know, many of them are conspiracy to murder. There's no victim. It was all a setup and frame job. The courts were rigged. But we're not going to stop talking about them. Every time there's a chance to advocate for them, we are. And it's not a pleasant thing, right? It may not be a pleasant thing to hear. It's not pleasant for us to talk about it all the time. But these men, they wake up every day. It wasn't a holiday for them. They didn't get to walk out of the prison and go have dinner with their family and enjoy themselves. I'll never forget what Daniel Riley told me. And if you want to, man, I could go on and on about him. Some of the paintings that he sent outside of that prison, we've captured pictures of them and put them up on the website. It's just like Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci. But I'll never forget Daniel Riley. He's so educated, so just brilliant in painting and a musician and articulate in writing about the Constitution. He said, you know what I miss, Rudy, and as my freedom? I miss driving down the road and hanging my arm out the window. Don't ever take advantage of the simple, don't ever take for granted the simple things in life. When my wife and I walk around the block and the storm is about to come in and you can smell the rain in the air, when we walk around the lake or when we have a nice breakfast or when we have a nice dinner together or when we're laying together in bed watching a movie, I don't take any of those things for granted anymore. Every single thing in life is a blessing from God. And I don't know why God has allowed you and me and the listeners of this program to not be thrown in these hell holes. But our brothers and sisters have been thrown in these hell holes, and I'm asking you not to forget them. I'm asking you to include them in your prayers when you go to bed at night. I'm asking you to look at our website and educate yourself about their stories. look at their letters, become acquainted with their cases, and use the reasoning that God has given you. Why is this happening in the country that I live in, and what does God want me to do about it? And when they come for you, let's make it harder when they go to the next guy. You know, let's not be such pushovers in America. Let's get back the courage that God told us that righteous men should have. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And we need to speak up and to tell the evildoers that enough is enough. This is what's going on when Officer Jack McLam was putting out newspapers in 2004, for goodness sake. We're 14 years down the road and these men are still in prison. There's something terribly wrong with our country. I know that it's much bigger than just the prison system. We went over my list of doom earlier, but you know, we got to start somewhere. And I'm here to say that advocating and communicating and encouraging and fellowshipping with these prisoners is a godly thing to do. It is part of the work of the kingdom of God. It's following the word of God. And I believe we live in a world full of such deception and such lies that the one thing that I can hold on to is the word of God. And I don't try to change the words in it. I got some friends that change the words in it, and that's between you and God. But I got a book, and I can hold in my hands, and I'm staying with that book, and I'm staying with the words in that book. The Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the words of the Lord will endure forever. And I'm holding on to that promise. And I want to stand before the Lord and said that I tried to do what's right with the talents that you'd given me. And I may not be the best, and I may be a knucklehead, and I may drop the ball all the time. I'm not the most articulate speaker. But for whenever a door was open to speak about my brothers in bonds and my sisters in bonds, I did my best to advocate for them. And I hope you'll join me. And I hope we'll get other people to do this. And that will put a stop to this satanic prison industrial complex that's got 2.5 million people. And I said earlier that the census of Dallas, the entire city of Dallas in the year 2010, was 1.2 million people. That means you got two cities of Dallas in prisons across this country. And the people that we cover on this program is just a small portion. But I'm sure that there's unnamed, forsaken people that have no friends, have no fellowship, and they may feel like they've been abandoned. And maybe we need to send them a Bible. Maybe we need to send them a tract. Maybe we need to investigate and, you know, check into things that the Lord, listen to that still small voice that the Lord wants us to listen to. And he'll lead you to somebody who needs your counsel, who needs your encouragement, and who needs your fellowship. But Aaron, what have I missed? You know, how do you deal with being in the prison ministry every day? I mean, it's got to be tough on you as a woman to hear these stories day in and day out. But
it reminds me of the story Todd Engel told me when they had a riot in their prison, and there was some, I guess, less than lethal gas sprayed, and they had to evacuate, and they had to go outside in the middle of the night. And I'll never forget, he said that it was the first time in 2 years that he was able to look up and see stars.
Mm.
That touched me. It really, really touched me. And I took it for granted, you know, that these guys see the stars. But I don't know, maybe they're in a bunk bed in a gymnasium with no windows and they can't see the stars at night. But these little things that we take for granted, you know, when you're in the prison ministry, you don't take anything for granted. A breeze from a fan, the smallest things bring you joy in your life. You know, hugging someone. Schaefer Cox has been in the CMU. That stands for Communication Management Unit. Sometimes they call it the CTU, Counterterrorism Unit, which is 99% Muslims. And he's in there, and he cannot even touch his children. His child was just born. He's got two little ones. He wasn't even able to touch his little girl for 7 years. And fortunately, he was put into general population for a brief stint. I think it was 6 months. And when he was in there, he was able to get a visit from his daughter and put her on his lap. And he said that was the most memorable day of his entire life.
You know, Schaefer was put in prison on a 26-year prison sentence, completely railroaded by a satanic group of prosecutors that have done this before to Senator Ted Stevens. But he was put in there shortly after the birth of his daughter. And
you know, this secret prison that you've never heard about, there is a program on TED Talks on YouTube if you haven't heard about it before, but you can't even get a FOIA request on this place. It's such a black site. There's one in Marion, Illinois, and one in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Yeah, it's a secret prison. They don't let you, they limit your restrictive communications. And so if you can imagine your children coming and visiting you in one of these secret CMU counterterrorism prisons and then talking to them through glass, absolutely insane. But Aaron, I know you always want to talk about solutions, and I think throughout humanity, the books that I've read and trying to, you know, process at a high level altitude what God would have us do as Christians as we see the tyranny enveloping the land and how can we fight it. I know prayer and fasting and reading our Bible and standing up and reaching out to these prisoners, but another thing that I think people have tried to do throughout history is organization. Yeah, and you laugh.
No, it's like herding cats. Forget about it.
It's organizing Christians. You know, Aaron and I went to have dinner with a Chinese couple, and they said that the Chinese government, the number one thing the Chinese government is afraid of is the Chinese people organizing for any cause whatsoever. And even if you said you wanted to hold a demonstration to celebrate
birthdays,
the birthday of the leader of China,
nope,
they won't even allow that because they simply don't want anybody to organize. And so because we live in a society where everybody stares at their iPhone and nobody has any sort of, you know, relationships with their neighbors or their community, it's very difficult to organize. Not only that, but Christians just don't get along. I mean, it's just
nope.
It's just hollering.
They want to argue about doctrine all day long.
But, you know, I was making a list of, like, where people did try to organize or are trying to organize. And there's a Free State Project in New Hampshire, I believe, where I think free-thinking people are trying to organize and elect officials that are constitutionally minded. I don't know a lot about it. Maybe we'll try to interview somebody that does know a lot about
it. What about that Ridley guy?
I think he's part of that Free State Project in New Hampshire.
Yeah,
maybe we need to interview him at some point.
Yeah, we should talk to him. He did a program on Ed and Elaine Brown.
He sure did, and maybe we can get him on at some point. You know, the Montana Freeman tried to organize and create a new town that was separate from the federal government. I don't want to call him a federal government. Call him like the minion of Satan or something. I don't know. But they tried to create a town called Justice Township. Well, that caused about 250 to 400 FBI agents come and SWAT team everybody in the Montana Freeman, and many of those guys are either dead or put in prison, and we still have Russell Landers that's 22 years in prison. There's an Elohim City I've heard about in Oklahoma. I don't know a lot about
that. That was mostly FBI undercover.
Yeah, all of these organization attempts get infiltrated by the FBI. And
I'll just stay home at Fort Davis.
Well, you think about how we can solve this problem, folks. God said that if we ask for wisdom, he'll give it to us. I know the answer's in that Bible somewhere, but I'm not going to bow the knee to Baal. I'm not going to bend the knee, and I'm not going to kiss the ring. Many of the prisoners that we talk to, they haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But God bless you for listening to us tonight. I pray you keep the prisoners in your prayers. Have a great night.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal
rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.